Join executive producer and former Victoria's Secret model, Summer Helene, and get the royal tour as the Duchess of Hollywood takes you behind the scenes and gives you an insider's guide to Hollywood. Get the scoop and all the dirt, and listen in on location with Summer Helene as she guides you through the entertainment world. Summer will challenge everything you think you know about Hollywood. Because of its mature content, Behind the Scenes with Summer Helene is recommended for an adult audience.
Welcome to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. We have a fantastic show for you today. Unfortunately, I'm a little bit under the weather. Apparently, I have an E. coli infection or something. I keep telling everyone, eat fresh fruits and vegetables. I always wash mine very well. I'm going to give a quick shout out and say, guys, come on, wash your fruits and vegetables very, very well. And because it is a miserable, miserable feeling. And apparently it comes from people not washing fruits and vegetables very well. Hey, John.
Hello.
I'm talking to everyone. I have like E. coli. I have E. coli from unwashed Good fruits Lord. And vegetables at a restaurant.
What are you doing this summer?
I don't know. This is like the third time I've gotten sick. It's getting ridiculous.
I just had a salad. What should I have done?
Did you make it yourself?
No, of course not. Are you kidding?
Well, therein lies the issue. You got to make it yourself, John.
We don't do that.
I normally do. It's just, occasionally I don't, and look what happens.
Well, I don't know. I have these salads all the time, so... I don't know what's going on. You have E. coli?
I have E. coli. I went in. I'm on these like massive antibiotics. It feels like my body is burning from the inside out now with these antibiotics.
From a salad?
From salad, yeah.
Wow. I don't know.
What's that say? Think of like the salmonella scare we had with spinach a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I had it once, but I mean, I deserved it. I had a mucho grande chips thing from a bowling alley once, so I fully deserved it when
that
I got it.
That sounds delicious.
it actually was pretty awful, and I still ate it. So I deserved to go to the emergency room, have like three bags of liquid put into me. So it was bad. But anyway.
And
so,
case,
well, I'm sorry to...
Out. Man, someone's going to start keeping fecal matter out of food.
Oh, this is how you're going to start the show this week?
I always talk about what's going on in life, John. That's what's going on.
Yeah, but I mean, we know this stuff goes on. We just don't want to hear about it. Do we?
I don't know. I never know with the audience. I just talk about whatever's going on and people love it or hate it.
Okay. Is there a place to tweet a vote or something?
There is. If you guys want
to want fecal matter on the show anymore.
Go to Behind the Scenes. Go to Behind the Scenes at Facebook.
Text this number. No for number. No more number two. So, well.
Well, it's, I got to say this, though. Actors are always throwing up, trying to stay skinny. This is just a new way to do it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out a segue to that now.
Exactly. That's fantastic. Alexis actually just muted the show and whispered it into my ear. So I'm going to say, John, we've had a pretty interesting week in Hollywood this week. But one of the biggest things that is going to affect Hollywood right now is the change in the money in China. The change of the market is seriously affecting film.
Yeah, well, they put their hope in that Chinese money. So I don't know. and then the bottom fell out of China. So,
well, China actually intentionally devalued its money.
Oh.
It was intentionally done.
Okay. Is that to destabilize the West?
No. It was done to stabilize their own economy. It's commonly done, but so much of our economy relies on theirs. And if you look at the market right now, it's terrible. And the film market has been so adversely affected.
Yeah. Well, I the whole film industry seems like it's changing at almost every level. It's so different, and I hear it from so many different people, things that change.
Oh, that the whole industry is about change.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you heard about Bruce Willis getting fired off of Woody Allen's movie, right?
No, I didn't. What happened?
Yeah, well, apparently, this is part of the change thing, back in the day, it's like, well, Bruce Willis left you know, the latest Woody Allen movie so he could work on his Broadway show of Misery or whatever. Though people on the set are Twittering and tweeting and they're sending messages to entertainment reporters. So they're actually saying, no, he got fired because he couldn't remember his lines. So now, you know, you can't even get away with anything anymore because somebody on the set is going to, you know,
tweet
something, take a picture of something, maybe even film something. I mean, so it's just changing to where it's, you know, the old ways may not be working so well anymore.
I liked the old ways where we got to keep some of our business our business.
Mm. Well, it's gone. I mean, you know, Big Brother's turned the eye back on Hollywood. So, but it's everybody's Big Brother. Everybody with a phone or everybody with a
big. You know what, though?
Internet account.
It stops the days that we could let Bill Cosby get away with raping a bunch of women. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm still kind of sketchy on how that even got away with so much of that.
Because we keep quiet on purpose.
But I mean, it's just they just kept coming out and coming out, and it's like, wow.
Well, you're looking at someone that did this for decades.
Yeah, but still, I don't know, it just blows my mind. I grew up on Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. I mean, I'm just that was him. That guy was doing that. So, yeah, it's kind of shocking.
It is. We have a great show today. We actually have John Reynolds back on. We were going to bring Aggie on, and she got called on set last minute.
Oh.
I wanted to finish our debate from last week.
Uh-huh. Well.
And Aggie got called away. So I promised the audience we'd finish it today, and it looks like we're not going to be able to.
Well.
So we will go back to it.
Yeah. You know. Well, I mean, John, you know,
get it.
Yeah, we had a good discussion going with him.
It makes sense. John, are and you there?
Lassie yes. will be joining us as well.
He's here.
Oh.
All right, we have John. That was Dev Ross, everybody.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Good, good. You can pull Dev into the conversation, too, if you want.
It's hot here. What can I say?
It's hot there. Everything in Arizona is hot.
Yes, it is. Is that John on there?
We have John Kessner on.
That wasn't me barking.
John, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Just fine. So what are we talking about tonight?
Well, we were talking about E. coli, fecal matter, the change in Hollywood. Then we got on to Bruce Willis being fired from Woody Allen's new movie because he couldn't remember his lines. And everyone on set tweeting the information out where once upon a time, we would have been able to keep that under wraps. Then we got onto Bill Cosby raping a bunch of women and how he got away with it for so long.
Wow. No football?
No football, not yet.
No. Okay. Is there a role for football? I don't even see the jump to that.
So what? Here's my question, John. What are your thoughts about Hollywood being as open today as it is? Everyone having access to the information in Hollywood that was once private?
Well, I think it's good and bad, like everything. It's got its good things, its bad things. And you're a celebrity, all of a sudden you really have no privacy anymore. People totally invade you. When you do things that are wrong and you're getting away with them, that's not good. But we don't know that about a lot of people, but they seem to. You know, so I don't know. Having dealt with fans in my past, I can find that fans can be particularly dangerous. Yeah, obviously. I mean, you look at the news girl that just got shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't a fan. That was a former coworker that killed her, though.
I know, but there was a whole thing going on. But the fact is that when you get into that world, it gets really wacky. And, you know, it's not easy being a – I would never want to be a star. I love the work. I'd love to do all the work, but I would never want to be a star.
I think it was Marilyn Monroe once said, I knew I belonged to the public because I never belonged to anyone or anything else before. And I think there's a sad truth to that. To a degree, you do belong to the public as a celebrity. They own you. They own a piece of you.
Well, I don't know. I think that when you make a choice to do that, and the environment that we live in today, the society we live in today, you could make that kind of assumption that you sign up for it because basically you don't have a choice whether you want to be that or not. I mean, so I don't know that I mean, and then there's the idea that you're on screen a lot and people, you know, they project themselves on you and they do all that kind of process with you. And so they have that sense of, I guess, maybe entitlement in some ways. But I don't think those things are very, very healthy. I think respecting somebody for the work they do, you know, like, for example, I think Christopher Walken is a brilliant talent, but I cannot stand the guy personally myself. And oh, that's really? Not.
Why is that?
Well, it's not. It's, you know, you work with people, you get a sense of things, and that might be a totally unfair because it's not like I have lunch with him all the time. But the fact is, it's just that's my feeling about it. I think he's brilliant. You know, we can go the other way. I've been a big fan of Bob Dylan. I've met him a couple of times, but I would say to him, I love your work. I don't know you, so I don't know if I like you or not. That's pretty much the way I look at those kinds of things anymore. Is I appreciate what the work they do, but I also accept the reality that, you know, that's their job. That's what they do. That's their life. That's what's about. That doesn't determine who they are when the tape's not rolling.
Which I think is what people confuse with the situation with Bill Cosby. Everyone has lumped him in with the character and his comedy and forgotten that he is a human being, not Dr. Huxtable.
Well, he's barely, hey, considering what he's been accused of, he's barely a human being. I think he's even dropped a lot more clicks below that. I mean, come on.
I don't disagree with that. I'm simply saying everyone thinks that he's Dr. Huxtable.
Well, they did. Yes.
They did, yeah.
And I mean, you could look at it
not
like
anymore.
This. You get typecast as an actor. If you used to be, if you did a TV series, your chance of doing features was forget it. There's very few people for a long period of time who jump from television to film. Yeah,
now they can.
They're rushing into television.
Guys, we're going to break. We'll be right back after this break. Hold that thought here on Behind the Scenes.
Hold all the fecal matter, too.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Live with medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene, and we are on with John Kessner and John Reynolds. We have a whole bunch going on right now, but right before the break, we were talking about perception and reality here on Behind the Scenes.
By the way, I just got a text from a friend of mine who played poker with Christopher Walken.
Mm-hmm.
Oh?
And they want to know what's the deal with Christopher Walken?
I just worked on a film with him, and, you know, you're behind the camera, you see how people relate with others. You know, I mean, it's not something that I really want to get into gossiping about or anything like that.
He's not going to talk out of school.
Okay.
Yeah, I just think that because of who people are on camera and things like that, we need to differentiate them from who they are in their real lives. It's not the same thing. Their job is actors. That's what they bring to the show, and they're damn good at it. So why are they doing what they do?
I think there's one exception. Nicolas Cage is both a terrible actor and a terrible human being.
He liked a question I asked him once at a film festival.
What question did you ask him?
I asked him if he cast Brenda Vaccaro in his directorial debut because she was in Midnight Cowboy. And he loved that I got that reference.
Interesting.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
Is someone emptying a dishwasher somewhere?
Yeah, I actually work in a kitchen. I'm a busboy.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay,
great.
We've actually got John from his house in Arizona.
Yeah, we just got finished with dinner, and at this house, we always have gas and stuff like that. So at our house, I do most of the cooking, not all of it, but most of it. And whoever does the cooking doesn't have to do the dishes. See,
right? Oh,
see. So I make a mess and I walk away. You know,
this is how they get you back.
Yeah. See, so that's the way I work, you know, in film.
Make a mess, let the producers clean it up.
A little humor there.
I like
it. Yeah, you might want to stop clicking and clanking.
You made Christopher Walken load the dishwasher on the shoot. I get it.
No, now. I think the best part is in the background we have an Emmy Award-winning writer loading the dishwasher.
Doing the dishes. Yes.
In case anybody wondered what that sounded like.
You know what? She does dishes not nearly as well as she writes a script. I'll tell you that. You know. Want to talk about behind the scenes a little bit?
You're digging a deeper hole, John. Digging a deeper hole.
I know. Well, you got
me.
So, anyway, back to the subject.
Help.
Yeah, anyway. Back to the subject. I really think that it is a problem, and I think it's natural. I think people want to know. You know, it's the inquirers, you know, inquiring minds want to know. Well, they tapped into a reality. We have a biological need to know stuff. That's what we survive off of.
Well, so, we've turned everyone into inquirer report. We've turned everybody into a TMZ operative with their cell phones and their
accounts. John, you can take responsibility for that one, but I'm not going to.
Well, I'm not taking responsibility for it. It's an observation. I mean, you know, that's what people are doing now. I mean, you know, they're you know, I just when I read this today, I thought, wow, there's two people on that set that beat press agents out to explain why Bruce Willis got fired off a Woody Allen movie. And, you know, once that gets out, it's like, well, I don't even know if they've tried to, say it's not true. Yeah. So
I think there's a point that you just can't bury anymore. Once upon a time, we were able to control what came out. We could control what was said. We could control the reputations. I don't think we can anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible anymore either. I agree with you, Summer. I think that people who now are working and wanting to get into that and looking into that, they should factor that into the business side of what they're doing, because that's an absolute fact. I'm amazed at the idea that some star would selfie herself, you know, with her legs spread apart, and believe for a moment that that wasn't going to get found. I mean, those people who do that stuff do the governments of the world. They're tapping into security systems all over. It's like, excuse me, who are you to think that you can get away with that? You should be a little more thoughtful. And then to get all your nose out of joint because it's your privacy, I appreciate that. But, you know, like some are saying here, we don't have a lot of privacy when you're got the spotlight on you all the time. And you just have to deal with that reality. It's just the way it is.
And I think anyone wanting to be in this business should know that.
Yeah, it's got a name.
Too, because that person has every right to do whatever they want with themselves and their lives. They're not hurting me. They're not. I don't know what the thing is. It's not my business. But somebody's going to make it their business because they're in the spotlight. And so their privacy, you know, is standing on shaky ground.
So, well, it's called frapping. There was something called the frappening. And somebody hacked into all these phones and got hundreds and hundreds of photos of A-list celebrities, their little nude selfie shots and stuff, and just blasted them all over the internet.
I think people have to be aware of that.
Well, I think, well, that's true, but now they are, aren't they? See, they didn't know that's how vulnerable they were to this new society that we're, you know, getting in ourselves into.
But 10 years ago, things like this happened. So you look at Pamela Anderson's sex tape. This isn't new. And so for people to repeatedly make these choices like Jennifer Lawrence and then go, well, I feel violated, I understand you feel invaded, but if Pamela Anderson couldn't keep a tape hidden on it from, you know, on a VHS tape with her and Tommy Lee, how do you think you're going to do it in cyberspace?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. But I'm going to tell you, as far as Lawrence goes, you know, I totally agree with her in that she has that right as a human being, just like any of us do. And because of her job, she's not allowed to be herself. And that's the crime. And that's the irresponsibility that this business, I think, you know, has created. And I think now, because of this situation, people are going to go through a real check here and start going, okay, we need to we need to think this process so that, you know, and it's an acceptance. You got to accept it. If I was a young guy and I wanted to be a star today, I look at that stuff and go, ooh, boy, you got to be careful who you're with, what you're doing. I mean, it's 24/7, 365.
Well, it's also the 24-hour news cycle. They're constantly looking for news and something to throw in. So celebrities have become a big part of it. We had a reporter a couple of years ago who got fired from a station because she absolutely refused to report on Paris Hilton doing a fashion show because she said this isn't news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there you are, too. You get into the corporate bottom line of stuff, you know, and that's the world we live in. So I guess the question then is, in our various positions in this process, how are we going
to
deal with that?
I think most people are going to say, I'll be a millionaire. And if someone wants to, you know, look at nude pictures of me.
But you still have to look at the reality. It's not just nude pictures. It's you can't go for water. You can't be with your friends. You can't send a private message. There is no expectation of privacy in the business anymore. Not for executives sending emails, not for photographs, not between couples.
I once had a friend. I always think of him as a friend. And, in fact, that's not the last conversation because we bumped into each other several times. Who became a major star. And my oldest son now was a baby at the time. And I was over at his house, and I looked around, and there were 15 or 20 people there. And some of those people there are major stars today, you know? And I just, all of a sudden, I went, wow, you know, it's his home. What does he do for privacy? Where does he go now? It's just, you know, it's nonstop. And a certain amount of that was okay with him. But still, I thought, well, one of these days he could go everybody out of my house and out of my life. And I told him, I said, I don't want to be there when that happens. I don't want to be a part of it. I just want to be your friend. And so I'm going to have to stop running with you, you know. And he said, well, you know, that's exactly, you know, that's kind of what happens. Either that you know, people pull off and separate from you, or, you know, or they overindulge, you know. He was saying, you know, this is a tricky, I'm on a razor's edge here. I understand where you're at. And it's a consequence of my position in this. You know, and that was pretty heady stuff. And so I stopped. And I'd run into him places. And a lot of times we'd end up in the men's room, you know, because we had privacy there and we could just catch up. What are you doing? I'm doing this. How's that going? Who's that? He'll tell me stories about his life. And it's, you know, one day he's pulling out his driveway. Comes out on the street, and a sheriff comes down there, and his partner's with him on this other side. They don't see him, and they slam right into him, broadside him. A year and a half later, the passenger sheriff sued him.
Really?
He was just, yeah. See, that's the kind. Now this guy, he's making money, yeah, but how much of that money is going to lawyers to deal with that? How many people out there realize what kind of stuff, and it costs, those lawyers are not cheap, folks. So it's expensive
to be famous.
Just to be yourself when you're a celebrity.
I think Caitlyn Jenner is going to find out how much it costs.
Yeah.
So she's getting sued for like $18 million or something right now, I think.
And what exactly is she being sued for? Tell the audience.
That accident. He, back when she was Bruce, and I heard they rushed right out and said, no, he wasn't texting when he slammed right into the back of a vehicle, knocking another vehicle out into the path of a different lane, and the woman got killed. So they've been, you know, wringing their hands whether to charge him with vehicular manslaughter or something like that. Because, you know, you could pretty much do anything you want if you're a celebrity in California. So that part doesn't seem to be a big deal, but the lawsuits from the people involved in the accident, that's going to be a little bit harder to deal with. So that's kind of the news that I saw this week.
I like that. Well, guys, we will be right back after the break. We are talking about the cost of celebrity, what it really takes, and what it does to the people involved. We're talking a little bit about Caitlyn Jenner, and John Rabbits and John Kessner. Be right back after the break with Behind the Scenes.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
September 23rd, mark that down on your calendar, put it in your phone, whatever you do, circle that date, 9 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio. Yes, it is the return of the Joe Show. We will come back live with season 9. Wow, 9 seasons. I can only think of 4. Winter, spring, summer, fall, salt, pepper, oregano, and thyme. No, anyways, we don't have that much time. We're going to be back live September 23rd. Don't forget, 9 p.m. Eastern here on Om Times Radio.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber, for Immersion into Source every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Om Radio.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hello, good evening, everyone. This is Alexis Romero standing in for Summer Helene while she went to the potty.
Hey, the way this show's been going, just do a remote.
Pardon?
Make sure that door's... hey, Dev, make some noise or something with some cutlery or, you know.
She's left the building.
She's left the building?
I'm back.
Oh, okay.
I'm back.
We just wanted to make sure there was enough cover there.
I have a call. I have a serious medical issue, and Alexis is seriously going to not have a job and have a medical issue next time she tells everyone I'm on the potty.
I was waiting for it to hear the actual toilet in the background, the Archie Bunker
toilet
sound in the background, the flush upstairs.
No, I was thrown up. It was fantastic. Moment everyone was waiting for. We are on with Behind the Scenes. I would give a shout out to our sponsors, but certainly not after that intro, so we'll do it after the next break. Welcome back. We are on with John Gessner and John Reynolds talking about The Price of Fame, what Hollywood does.
And
you had brought up Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner, yeah.
I personally think that she has balls of steel. You know, go back to where he comes from in this, from outside the spotlight. He got there because he was a major Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
What he did was phenomenal. He was handsome. I remember when they started pushing him out. I mean, I saw that one coming right away. Okay, here we got our new thing. And he was a lamb to slaughter. I don't know if he managed him or anything like that. I don't say that he did a bad job or anything like that. It was just the way he was. You could see he was out of his element and he was trying his best because that's what he did. He did, and that's what he was trained to do. And time has gone by. To think an individual, and then to do the show that he's doing, the tie-in with the comparison, the whole thing there, he is a public figure. He knows what that life is about. In fact, I would have to say the reality show plays into the reality of that particular element of the business, if you will. And so he's not naive. He might be the smartest in the world, I don't know, but he's certainly not a naive individual. And for him to make a choice to be a she, knowing that it was going to be in the spotlight, I just think that is incredibly courageous. Whether I agree with it or not is not even irrelevant to the conversation I'm looking at. I'm looking at an individual who's making an extraordinarily hard choice in an environment that we've just been talking about is not fun a lot of times on that other side of the camera. And to make those kinds of decisions, that's huge stuff. And it says it's real important. So I respect him, her, for that choice, or for the strength to stand up and take it on, to do what it is you really believe is the right thing for you.
Have you watched any
of those
shows?
And to be able to stand, whether the storm of the media is huge, I don't envy him at all. Her.
Have you watched any of those shows?
You know.
John, have you watched any of the shows?
No.
I don't think it's about the content. I think it's about the idea. Yeah.
I think he's nuts. I've watched the show. I think he's insane.
Even still, coming out, I do agree with what John's saying. When you already know the media storm that you're stepping into, and there's no way being a Cardassian, he doesn't. Stepping into that, doing this, that's a hell of a thing.
I think that's what drove him nuts. I think this is his ultimate
revenge.
I don't
know. Look at those girls around him. I think that household's got to be nuts in itself.
Yeah, I'd like freak out. I'd do something crazy like that if I had to live with them. Ugh.
You know, I just think that this is you brought up in a way of perfect, a good example of the essence of what we're talking about here. And that is that when you're a celebrity, it's a hard road to hoe. It takes a unique kind of individual, whether they're crazy or just committed to be who they are, your choice. I prefer to believe that he's making that commitment because he believes that's the best choice for him. You know, that could be insanity in some people's books. I don't think so myself. But, you know, neither here nor there, as opposed to individuals who are actors, who have a craft that they love and they work on diligently. You know, a lot of people probably don't recognize that a lot of celebrities have coaches. You know, and if they have a big conference coming up, they call in their coach and they sit down and they go through it and work with them, because it's not something you can do alone. You need somebody to work with them. And coaches are the best. You know, you build a relationship with them. They know your technique. They understand your process. You know, and it's a tool. It's a necessity. It's like having a, you know, like having a public press secretary or something. You know what I'm saying? But they don't talk about it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, once upon a time, you know, Bruce Jenner was an athlete training. Actors are the same way. They are a different kind of, they're a different kind of craftsman, but the effort goes in no matter your craft. Effort goes in. And time goes in. We had John Morris from the Blues Preachers on here a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about it takes thousands, what was it, something like 5,000 hours of playing guitar to actually get competent, 50,000 hours to get good. Wow. So I think that's the same thing.
Yeah. My issue with Bruce Jenner, my issue with Bruce Jenner is, if he wanted to be a woman, fine, go be a woman. Nobody's going to care. It's like, oh, well, he's going to be a punchline. You know, just go do it. But he's a product. He is selling this choice. He is selling himself as a show, as a celebrity, and people are being bullied into accepting that. And it's like, but you know what? We have the right to say, look,
I think that's an interesting choice. That's like, John, I'm sorry, I just really don't agree with that at all.
There's probably a lot of people that don't, but he's a product now. He's not making a choice.
He's utilizing the business that's got him under a microscope in order to turn a dime to pay for him his life, to pay for his medical expenses, to pay off his attorneys, to pay an $18 million lawsuit. That's what he's doing. He's taking the system, he's using it because he learned it well from the past, his past thing of the stuff. He's just taking the media and he's using it to his advantage. So he's got people working around. I think they have a pretty good handle on what they're doing. If you don't like it, don't watch it.
I agree with
I'm
that.
I'm not watching it, not because I don't like it, but because it doesn't interest me, frankly. I don't find that interesting.
I think anyone in Hollywood has got to have a strong handle on the business and utilize it correctly. No matter where you are in this business, you have to have a strong handle on it and a strong understanding of the machine that you're stepping into. It's the people that don't understand that step in and get ripped out of control. It's the Lindsay Lohans, the people stepping in as children a lot of the time, that get torn apart by this machine. Now, Bruce Jenner has been in this machine for a long time, so I agree with John in that he's utilizing the machine and the business he knows. On the flip side, yes, I do think he is exploiting what he's going through, but for people going through it, it does put a spotlight on it to say, this is okay. So I think it's a catch-22 in this particular case. You were saying...
You know, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry.
No, please, John.
I was just going to say, if we switch over to another entertainment area, professional football, okay? You look at that situation and there's men running around in uniforms getting, you know, tens of millions of dollars a year.
Yeah, but they really don't get all of that money. They really do not make as much money as people think they do.
Well, just let me finish what I'm saying here, okay? So where do they come from? Let's say, for example, I'm a huge Arizona Cardinals fan. And there's a guy they call Smokey John Brown. And the guy is just insanely good. And he comes from a little small town kind of life and a little small colleges. He did come up. I mean, it's a testament to the coaches that they reached out and got this guy. And he's going to be big. He's coming from a very small world into a big world, and in a couple of years he's going to have more money than he ever imagined he'd ever have in his life. Now that is a scary proposition for those guys, because, and then you have your family stuff. You do a little research into that element in the professional football, some of these guys go through with the families and stuff like that. It's not, it's, and it's all because there's this, all of a sudden, things shift. You're in the spotlight. You got lots of money. People are kissing your butt right and left. You know, my ex-wife was 16 years old. She was telling me one day, and 60-year-old women would come up and push each other out of the way to get her autograph. Now, we're talking the 60s. You know, so, you know, and that's a lot to handle. So the same thing is with actors. Not every one of them come from a financially stable environment where they learn how to manage their funds and manage this and manage that. You know, I have to say a great portion of them don't. But some of them will take that and they'll move on and build other things and do other stuff. So, you know, it's really, really hard. So I hesitate to be hard.
I'm not trying to be harsh on it. All I'm saying here is, I might have said this backwards, but let me see if I can rephrase it. I have a serious issue with a lot of parents getting their kids in film because I think the kids can't handle it, especially as they get up. I think that's a very, very big problem. For someone like Caitlyn Jenner, she has been in the spotlight. She knew what she was getting herself into, and good on her for utilizing what she had. But when you talk about these football kids coming up and all of these people coming up, that's like overnight success. And that's a difficult thing. And once you have all of that money and all of these people and not wanting to disappoint anyone, and everyone wants a piece of you. And the more successful you get, the more people want. It's never enough. So you need to, from a realistic perspective, say, these kids that are coming in are being brought in by their parents, the Britney Spears, the Lindsay Lohans. I'm not surprised they end up where they do. Not only do their parents not know what they're doing, these kids grew up in this machine with a lot of money and have no grasp on reality.
A lot of times, that's so true.
All right, guys, we are going to a break. We will be right back with Behind the Scenes. I'll give my shout outs and thank yous right after the next break, and we will finish up chatting about the Hollywood machine. Thank you for talking to us tonight on Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. We are on with John Kessler, who you like to meet, John Reynolds, bloody amazing. We'll be right back after this break. Hang on to me.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Conscious media for conscious minds. OM Times.
Behind the Scenes, I'm your host, Summer Helene. We are on with John Kessner and John Reynolds. I've got to do some quick shout-outs and a thank you. But I was just listening to the ad for The Irreverent Therapist, and somebody tell me when that show's on. That actually sounds good. I did meet an irreverent therapist once. It was a counselor that was doing marriage counseling for myself and my ex-husband. He asked me on a date. Pretty irreverent, not the right way to go. I like the sound.
Nice.
Yeah, that did not go well. My husband
did. I like that.
He did not like it. I want to give a quick shout out and say thank you to Pinelli Bell. You give me great stuff for red carpets. Thank you to Pure PR. It's an agency that'll make people, places, and things famous. You all know Cindy Honig. She comes on here every so often. Check her out, purepr.okc.com. Off-Road Rentals gives away free rides every single week, and Greg's Vacuums, because Alexis puts this on here every week, and if your vacuums do not suck, theirs do. Check them out. It's gregsvacuums.com. That's Alexis's grandparents, my assistant, that will probably not have a job after telling everyone I was going potty. We are back on, and I want to give a shout-out to my mom, who's texting in to tell us that Caitlyn Jenner, is going to be hosting the Point Honor Foundation Awards for the first time in LGBT history. So that's very, very interesting. Well, and I those? Know, pardon?
What are those?
They are an award show to help LGBT youth. It's academic awards. It's really, really important, actually, guys. It's not something I talk about, and it's not something I'm being paid to talk about. Please, please, please check out the Point Awards. It really is something very important for the community. So shout out, Mom. Thank you for sending us that information. We are talking about celebrity, what makes people famous and the reality of living with it. Maybe not what makes it, but the reality of living with it. Right before the break, we were talking about celebrity kids and what happens to them. Now, I'm going to bring something up. John, you worked with Drew Barrymore on E.T.
Yeah.
And she is one of the most. She is one of the most classic cases of celebrity affecting children. In her biography, she talks about being on cocaine by age 12. Drinking.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Age 9.
Yeah.
And so you knew her when she was a sweet, sweet, you know, before all of this.
Yeah, I like her a lot. I got to tell you, I've never not liked her when she was going through all that stuff. My heart went out to her. You know, I empathized with her. I prayed, like I hope, you know, a lot of people did, that she'd find her way out of it. And she did. She's a
wonderful.
She's a Barrymore. Yeah. She's a Barrymore. I mean, there's a line there. That stuff is good stuff. And
the dynasty.
You know, they have a very colorful history, and she had her share of it, but she's a solid human being. And, you know, I enjoyed working with her. She was a lot of fun to watch. And the boy.
And the young man.
Yeah, he was good. He's a good actor, that boy.
They all were. I do want to know, though, from an outside perspective, for people thinking about getting their kids into Hollywood, I always want to give that shout out. From an outsider's perspective, you've watched this for years, the children that have gone through this machine. What are your thoughts on it, John? I would really like your unfiltered thoughts on the effect of the machine on kids.
I think you actually kind of tapped into it earlier, and it really is the parents. You know, here's an analogy. I know it sounds silly, but, you know, if you were going to buy a Doberman and you went out to get some puppies, you know, you're going to look at the parents. If the parents are high strung, you don't want to get one of those puppies because it's probably going to be high strung too. So bottom line, the parent is hugely important. There's been some nice people who've handled their family and their situation really, really well. I've known them, and their kids in the situation, and they do the best they can, and they have integrity. And then there's some who have their own ambitions and their own, you know, living through their children stuff that's really, really not good. And, it's a sad thing to see. So it really comes down to the parents. The other thing is there's a reason why maybe Drew can get access to cocaine, because traveling around the world, that's really accessible because there was
a lifestyle. John, you're cutting out.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know why. She lived in an environment that was excessive. So it was easy for her to access those things.
And get to it. That makes sense. Well, I know, you know, my parents were in entertainment. My mom was in entertainment specifically, so she discouraged it. I know that wasn't what you wanted for your kids necessarily.
No, it's not. It's not at all. Yet, you know, my Well, my first son was in music, and now he's still into it. He's got other, he's much older, you know, and he's got a son. And my second son, he's in LA now. He's working on, I think, Supergirl or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a friend of mine who's a unit production manager and that kind of person called me up and said, do you think, you know, your son would be available to do some PA work? And I went, oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. I can't make those decisions for him. That's something that he had to make a choice. So she called him, and he started working. And, boy, he did a bang-up job. But we live in an environment here, he's working down in Phoenix, where it's not as steady as like it would be if you're working in L.A. And he needed steady. He was looking to his future. I'm going to have a family someday. I need to be able to provide. I want to live hand to mouth, blah, blah, blah. So he had a desk job, and he called me one day, and he was whining and complaining. And I said, look, you know, it sounds like you need to be busy all the time. It seems like you need to be solving a problem every 15 minutes. It seems like things need to be shifting around. You can't sit around in an office. It's not that you don't mind it. It just can't be the focus. And he goes, yeah, that's exactly right. And so it sounds to me, I'm sorry to say, like you should get it back in action.
Yeah.
And he went, you're right. You're absolutely right. 2 weeks later, he moved to L.A. And he got a show.
What advice from an adult, from a parent's perspective, what advice would you give parents whose kids want to get into entertainment, want to get into film, want to get into music, want to get into the creative arts? What would you say to parents? Because I know there are a lot of parents out there that don't want their kids in that. I know there are a lot of parents that do. What would you say to the parents of people who want to get in this industry?
I guess it starts off with saying, you know, which specific part, because it's kind of different for others. So from a crew perspective, you know, like my son, he would call me occasionally when he first started doing that. He'd say, he'd talk about something, and I go, well, son, you need to be aware of this on set, and this will take place, and this right here. These are kind of ways you might want to focus your energy and start asking questions that you're around and see, so because that's how you do it. And also the understanding that he was at the bottom of the food chain and everybody was going to dump him if they had a privilege and a right to do so, and it's just the way the business was, and that was what's going to differentiate him from the rest, because he had tough skin and he would get through all of that if he were going to be an actor.
John, you're cutting out, hon. All right, I think we lost John Reynolds. Damn it.
You know what?
I was interested in what he was saying. I wanted to hear that.
Actually, I'm stuck on your marriage therapist who hit on you. I think that's a funny idea.
That would have made a great script if you write it into a script.
Yeah, marriage therapist who's trying to get laid. I think that's awesome.
Anyway. That would be a funny script, John. Write it up. I'd like to read that. I'd like to read that very much. Well, I was interested in what John was saying, but I am curious especially from John Ronald's perspective, what do you say to the parents of kids that want to get into this industry? Because you have a lot of people that discourage it. You have a lot of people that encourage it.
And it's a good, you know, the thing is, it's when they discourage your kids, because I got discouraged. That's all I got was. They're like, you'll never make any money. You'll never get anywhere. That's for rich people. You know, they don't want anything to do. And you know what? To me, it didn't matter. It was all I really wanted, and just trying to get in was good enough. And if I didn't, I didn't, whatever. So, you know, the dangers are all there. My parents were trying to help me, I'm sure, trying to help me as best they could.
I think by helping young people, the worst thing in a lot of cases you can do is say, don't follow your dream. I understand having backups. I understand a lot of that. One of the smartest things my mom did was turn around and say, okay, if this is what you want to do, do it, but get educated, learn it. And so if I didn't work doing this, I could take the education I got for this particular job and apply it anywhere else.
Yeah. Are we still on?
We are still on. We're actually going
sure?
to be, yes, I am. We're actually going to be off in about 1 minute.
Because I'm getting texts from friends listening in saying we've cut out.
I will reconnect. Let's see if I can. I don't know what's going on. It shows that we are on. It's showing that we are on here.
Well, we're on, me and you.
Yeah, we should be on Home Times. Let me see if I can reconnect. Hi, guys. This is Summer Helene. I don't know if we cut out for a second or we didn't. I do not know what is going on here. We have had some pretty funky reception the last couple of times. We've had people calling in, writing in, and everything else. Apparently, John Kessner was saying he had some friends that said they couldn't hear us anymore. We're reconnected. It shows we're connected. I don't know what to tell you, but if you're not hearing us, we're not hearing you. We have about 1 minute left, and we are talking about...
We're back for the end.
We're back for the end. I just want to say, guys, if your kids want to get into the entertainment industry, my mom did it a great way. She turned around and said, you know what? Yes, if this is what you want to do, do it, but get an education so you know how to do this job. Take some business classes, take some law classes, know what you're doing so that when you get hit, when things go wrong, you can step into something else. But on top of that, it means you can turn around, do your job to the best of your ability. And heck, if that doesn't work out, you can do something else.
We are back on, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, good. Excellent. So
I have a text. I have a text from Ohio letting us know we're on.
Thank you very much, Ohio, for letting us know that we had some technical difficulties. Guys, thank you for joining us on Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene, on with John Kessner.
Yay.
A quick shout out and a thank you to John Reynolds. I don't know what happened to the connection, guys. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll talk to you next week on Behind the Scenes. Have a wonderful evening.
Goodbye, everybody.
And thank you again, Ohio. John, I'm going to call you in a sec. I've got to find out how Ohio called.
Ohio texted me. Yeah, they said, you're back.
Wonderful.
And we're gone, so we're done.